All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Are the strippers supposed to be men?
They're not, don't worry about the strippers. They'll be here later.
All right.
Don't you worry. Don't you mind these people coming in and setting up the studio here.
There's no animals, right?
There's nothing for you to see here. You just pay attention to the show.
All right.
No.
I'm going to focus.
I want that. No. Put that over there. I want the pole on that side of the room in the corner so that everybody can see it. No, over there. Fantastic. Get that guy over. Make sure he's doing the right thing over there.
He's not going to do anything.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
Me and Fantastic got it under control.
Fine. So where are we going with this tonight?
You might want to say what show it is. And
oh, is that what I'm supposed to do now? Is that what I'm supposed to introduce the show? This is Geek Stuff, episode 27.
Wow, way to confirm.
He was confident.
Well, that's okay. Tonight is a very special night for Matt, which is why we're calling the episode Matt's Bachelor Episode. Yeah, baby! Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Bring on the sexy stews!
Ew.
You know you want it.
No.
And this, of course, is in celebration of Matt's impending nuptials.
It's true.
Saturday.
Also true.
And so tonight we're throwing a little bash here in the studio. All of the usual suspects will be by. And they'll be partying it up here at Matt's Bachelor Episode. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo!
You know,
Fantastic. Make sure I don't want to see any of that stuff until the end of the show. So I want it brought in. I want it set up carefully. And I don't want it to disturb the flow of the show. All right? Got me? You listening? You paying attention?
All right.
You know, your excitement is so invigorating. And I hate to bring the show down right from the get-go, but I have to.
What?
From the get-go?
Yeah. No, not the get-go. The get-go.
I love my job.
Yeah, this isn't a Geico commercial.
Saving you money
is good.
I love my job.
So Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Do I have to say anything else, or can
nope.
I just leave
it
there?
I'm sure. Well, maybe some people don't know.
Okay, Robert Downey Jr. It was announced has been cast as Tony Stark in the upcoming Iron Man film.
Absolutely, utterly inspired casting.
Yeah. I find it a bit ironic, actually.
I think it's beautiful.
Well, sure. If you
look, if you need
want an alcoholic,
there you go. For those of you that don't know, Tony Stark, the character that is Iron Man in the comics, went through a brief period, and by brief I mean of a few years, where he was an alcoholic, and he actually got so bad at one point that he had to stop being Iron Man, and another man named Roddy Rhodes, took over, and was Iron Man for a little while, and he happened to be black.
Wait, what?
Yep.
Really?
Roddy Rhodes was black.
I didn't know that. Man.
I'm surprised. So after Tony kicked the habit, so to speak, sobered up, Roddy went on to become War Machine.
Yes. You know what? I do remember that now. And the actor that's going to be playing that character is been cast also.
Oh, is that right? Who is it?
The gentleman that was the lead in Hustle and Flow. Terrence.
Oh, who are the hot cops?
First, I have to...
What I tell you, I don't want any of that disturbing the flow of the show.
Oh, the hustle.
God, keep bumping my equipment. Will you be careful, mister? I don't care if you have lights to bring in. I think it's Terrence Howard.
Yes.
Terrence Howard is going to play Rhodey, huh?
You're right. Yes. Roddy, that was cast. Rhodey, he was cast first. I think he was the first official casting announcement. Yeah.
How about that? And Robert Downey Jr. Well, I have to tell you, you have Jon Favreau in the director's chair. You have drunk Robert Downey Jr. as drunk Tony Stark, Iron Man. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm liking this more than anything I've heard about any Marvel movie in recent history.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think that Downey Jr. is an awful casting choice. I just really found it quite comical.
I just think it's great.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
So we've determined and we're confident that he's in the movie, but do we actually know that part of the storyline is going to involve an alcohol problem? Is that is that part of the Iron Man story?
I don't think that they're going to address it in the movie, honestly.
Not in the first one.
But it is pretty known that Tony Stark was an alcoholic during his Marvel reign, and you know, Robert Downey Jr. battled his inner demons. So it's just kind of funny, really. Even if they don't address it, there's still
tis, yeah.
Yeah, his inner demons, Johnny Walker, and
yeah, exactly.
The other guy.
So
big drinker.
So while Tony Stark may have been a giant alcoholic, Galactus.
Wow.
Is a giant planet devourer, and it looks like he's actually going to be in the second Fantastic Four film.
Silly rabbit, segues are for kids.
This guy's awesome.
Hey, you know.
Hey, if you weren't getting married this weekend.
So Fox.
Stop feeding the rumors that you're a homosexual.
Yeah. So Fox Studio Chief Executive Tom Rothman did confirm that the Devourer of Worlds, Galactus, will make an appearance in the second Fantastic Four film.
An appearance. Well, it stands to reason being that Silver Surfer is in it, and Silver Surfer is the Herald of Galactus.
Yes.
So it stands to reason that Galactus should be in it. This actually, to me, is, I would say, a good move, because Silver Surfer makes no sense without Galactus.
Yeah, yes, but there was talk that Silver Surfer was eventually going to get his own spinoff film.
Yeah, well, that may happen.
And I could see Galactus being in the spinoff film. I mean, he definitely has a legitimate spot. I just don't want the movie to get too cluttered. I hope that it's a small cameo.
His introduction. Silver Surfer's introduction needs to be something tied with Galactus, because this is the way of things.
Well, Galactus might be in the movie like the Sentinels. Or an X3.
Well, I think it would have to be more than that. There has to be more of an explanation than
Well,
that.
What I mean is, as far as what you actually see, they could talk about Galactus a lot, but they only have to really, you know, show him briefly. Mm. You'll get an idea. What Rothman says is that he thinks Galactus's look will make the fans pretty happy. He doesn't think anybody's going to be disappointed by it.
So that means that he's going to look like the Kirby design.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's definitely, we're going to at least see most, if not all of him in the film.
I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if all we see is like a bust, like upper chest and head. Maybe the hand.
I think they got to go more than that.
A little staff thing.
I don't know. I think they got to go more than that.
Well,
it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to be just this big dude floating around in space.
Yeah, but you want to know the truth. There's a lot of kids out there who know who Silver Surfer is just by his image, because he's been on like a lot of shirts and merchandise and things like that, and they haven't read the comic, and they're not necessarily familiar with who Galactus even is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I know for a fact I've spoken to a couple who, couple kids. I saw one kid who had like one of those completely like wild graffiti big shirts that you see at Modell's that kids wear, and had Silver Surfer over on the left, and there's no way that, you know, the kid knew who Galactus was.
Yeah, no, not a clue. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's going to develop, but I'm sure eventually there'll be an image leaked online, and we'll have it at some point. But
today, in comic book stores and bookstores around the country, saw the release of what I believe is Volume 7 of the Complete Peanuts. This is the definitive collection of Charles M. Schulz comic strip masterpiece. includes all dailies and Sundays from 1961 to 1962. It's a hardbound edition from Fantagraphics Books. And I got to tell you, I don't care if it takes the entire 12 years that they're predicting for them to actually do every strip that Charles Schulz did. I think this is going to look beautiful on any bookshelf. Ray Bradbury says, Peanuts was, is, and will continue to be the finest comic in the world. And I think if you were a fan of Snoopy and Pals, even if you were only a fan of the TV specials sponsored by York Peppermint Patties, when you were growing up or now or on DVD for you younger cats out there, you would do yourself wise to start picking up these volumes. They are so affordable, Matt.
How much are they a volume?
$28.95. So you're talking like $30.
And how often do they come out?
They're coming out quarterly at this point.
Okay. So 4 a year.
So
times 12 years.
Yeah.
How many years was Peanuts? Peanuts was around for 36 years?
Well, it started in 50 whatever. This is volume 7.
Okay.
And this is 1961 to 1962.
Wow, yeah, so I guess it was.
It's like 2 years per volume.
Right.
And 4 volumes per year. Jesus, this is like math.
Yeah.
You're the math person.
Yeah, no. Not tonight. It's too
hot. 2 years per volume. 4 volumes per year is 8 years per year.
Right.
Times 12 years.
Is 96.
96 years.
Yeah, that can't be right.
That can't be
it. I'm not really paying attention. I'm looking at this over here, but this is funny. I heard him say
Peanuts has been around for 96 years.
Apparently, Peanuts started in 1916.
I heard something.
Wait, if this
I heard
is
him
my...
multiplying years by years.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't make any 60, sense.
59, 58, 57, 57, 56, 55, 453, 251. What, 1950?
So speaking of books that came
out. Wait. 1950. If it started in 1950 or 51.
Right.
Right. Let's say 50 for argument's sake. Although probably,
45 years then.
Probably going into the archive and pulling the book might be a way to find out. But let's say 50 for argument's sake.
Right.
So it ended what?
I don't know.
Schulz died at some point.
This is really bad.
Just say for like 50 years.
Yeah, it's probably like 50 years, yeah.
Okay.
So?
That's a lot.
Right, a lot. So, there's a lot of these coming. You would do yourself well to pick them up. They're a beautiful volume. They'll look good on a bookshelf. Mm-hmm. And it really is a piece of Americana, a piece of comic history, no doubt. Who's bigger than Charles Schulz? Who's bigger than Peanuts as a comic strip?
Sure.
So, yeah, so you should check those out. Fucking math.
Yeah, I hate math. So while Peanuts is you know, has this huge fan following, obviously, so does Evil Dead.
This is true. 3 fans in this room.
Right at the very least. And do you know that there's an Evil Dead musical?
Yeah, you had made mention of that.
It's currently off-Broadway in New York City.
And likely to remain so.
The New World Stage on 340 West 50th Street. Uh-huh. And, yeah, I don't know what to think about this. It takes the first 2 movies.
Wait a second. Wow. Fantastic. You see her?
Uh-huh.
Oh, don't look, Matt.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. It takes the first 2 movies, mashes them together, and they made a musical out of it with such stunning song numbers as Hail to the King and What the Fuck. Apparently, are 2 of the more appropriate songs. Although I'm pretty positive, I don't remember Ash ever saying "What the fuck."
Not only that, I don't think there was anything on the level of 4-letter fucks in the movies. But
no,
I could be wrong. I just can't remember.
And Hail to the King, I'm pretty positive, was an Army of Darkness thing, wasn't it? Not an Evil Dead thing.
Well, is it Evil Dead the musical?
It is Evil Dead the musical, and it takes the first 2 films, Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2. And combines them to create the craziest theatrical experience to ever hit New York. Blood will fly, limbs will be lost, demons will tell bad jokes. All of this and singing and dancing is their taglines.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I think, wasn't Evil Dead 2 supposed to be like a remake of Evil Dead 1 plus more?
Yeah.
And then ends in an open-ended way? That
it,
they
it kind of was, yes.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, that's feasible. They could do an Evil Dead musical. Are there any actors or actresses indicated in there?
No.
I do have the cast list here, although...
But it's nobody I know, right?
I don't recognize anybody that's in it.
Hey, Fantastic.
Yeah.
You want to check that out next week while
I kind of do.
The married man is on his honeymoon, getting some, if you know what I mean.
But,
and by some, I mean pina coladas.
The guy that's playing Ash, just, I don't know. He doesn't look like Ash to me.
Well, I think...
He looks too small.
I think that Fantastic and I will investigate going to see that while you're away, and maybe we'll be able to report back on it in coming weeks.
I will go only if you dress up.
As what?
As something. I don't know. Skeleton, Deadite.
I'll go as Matt.
Okay, and I'm also confused by something I see on this website here. I'm looking at the website right now, evildeadthemusical.net.
Right.
And it's kind of like a flash page with all these, like, it looks like it's inside the cabin that's in the film. It's got all these little things. It's got, like, the film player, the Necronomicon. It's got an Evil Dead movie poster, a chainsaw. But it also has a Nightmare on Elm Street Freddy glove hanging above the door.
Huh.
What the hell's that all about?
I don't get it.
I don't know.
And it's not clickable or anything. It's not, like, it doesn't bring you anywhere, so.
You really are kind of,
I don't know. I'm obsessed with it. I want to see it. I'm jealous that you guys are going to see it without me.
We'll wait for you.
We're not going to wait.
Can we wait for him?
No, go see it.
It might be gone, but if we wait.
Gone.
That's true. So take the opportunity. But get me a soundtrack.
Kev will bring a camera.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll allow
Super
a camera.
Cam?
Nah, probably not.
Super Cam.
Ooh.
The great mystery of the Super Cam.
Yeah. So Blade got canceled.
Already?
Really?
Yep.
Wow, I thought it was doing really well.
Nope. One season. That's it.
Wow.
Spike TV.
You know why?
Canceled it.
You know why? Because Spike TV is going down the fucking toilet.
Is it really?
WWE.
Where you been? They cast WWE aside. They said, get the hell out of here.
Well,
but doesn't Spike TV have the UFC stuff? I thought that stuff did really well.
That's all that they got.
And they have that MXC, that Most Extreme Challenge. I love that show.
What? All right. You know, is that really a big draw?
No, but from what I hear, they're doing solidly. They're doing well.
I don't know.
But New Line, who I guess produced it, is going to be putting out a DVD set of the first season.
Oh, that's good.
Which is pretty much all of it. But
well, I saw the pilot, and it wasn't terrible. So.
I never saw a single episode.
Well, you'll be able to watch the DVD when it comes out.
I certainly will.
Any date on said DVD?
No, it's too soon.
Okay.
Too soon. Probably mid-next year, I would
say.
That
was fast. I feel like they just started that, didn't they?
Yeah, a couple months ago. It's only been a handful of episodes. My guess is that the episodes, I believe, have all been filmed, so they'll probably continue to run them, and then they just won't pick it back up for season two.
That's stupid. Maybe Sci-Fi or somebody decent will pick it up.
Maybe. Maybe if there's a big enough demand.
It was all right,
fans,
you say?
But
it was good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, the pilot I saw was good. I don't know if the whole thing ended up being good.
Yeah, I saw some of the propaganda leading into it, and I wasn't too impressed.
Yeah, neither was I. But we'll see.
Well, everyone wanted Wesley Snipes, that's why. And it
I
was
didn't.
That other dude. So, yeah. Sticky Fingers.
Hey, look, I would have taken Wesley Snipes. I love the Blade movies.
I do, too.
I thought they were great. I thought Wesley was great in them. So.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Cue up your little sound effect. Letting you know
oh,
now.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Transformers.
Movie!
And there it is.
Yeah, great. So Hasbro, actually, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. No, it is Hasbro. I was going to say, I don't even know if it's Hasbro. Hasbro has announced the first wave of the Transformer movie figures, which is only going to consist of two figures. Four to a case.
Two per case.
15 to 20 bucks a figure.
Uh-huh.
And it's Optimus Prime, duh, and Starscream.
Interesting choice.
Bad choice.
Yeah, I had a feeling you wouldn't be happy.
No, you know what? Not because I don't like Starscream, because I do like Starscream. I always liked the character. I thought it was great. Even the toy was a really cool toy. I mean, the jet.
Starscream!
But what I don't understand is...
Megatron!
Well, that's what I don't understand. If you're going to put out Prime, why not put out Megatron? Or at the very least... why not put out Prime and Bumblebee? Probably the two most recognizable Transformers ever. To kick the line off, that's probably a great idea, I would think.
Have we confirmed, or we have any idea what the storyline is going to be?
Yeah, they've come to Earth looking for the
Energon crystals.
Yeah,
or whatever they're called. So do we know anything about
thing.
Maybe it turns out that, you know, Megatron's in control, but they feature Starscream, you know, doing a mutiny or a revolt or something like that, and he becomes the top baddie, and they go
really
against each other.
You are reaching.
Oh, why?
I suppose my guess, you want my honest opinion on it? They don't want to put a gun out on the market.
Ah, that's... Wait,
well, so there's a
opinion?
Jet.
That's much brighter than my...
Well, you want my opinion?
Yeah.
I have two words for you.
Uh-huh.
Marvel Legends.
What about it?
Do they pick characters to put out that make sense?
No, but...
So why would they do it in a...
But this is a movie.
I'd love to bash them just for that, but I think this is another bashing. I think they're deserving of another bashing. I think we've gotten so PC about everything nowadays, and guns are such a hard toy to push. They have all these regulations about what
they
look like.
I thought that they had changed him for the movie into something innocuous, like a ping pong paddle or something.
Yeah. So
he's a finger that you wag.
My guess is that they don't want to put a gun out on the market. I mean, if I had to take an educated guess.
That's a good guess. The only thing is, I know that there are other guns out there. Like, there's one in the Sigma 6 like line where you can buy. It's a
toy you play with. But it's got to have, like, that orange tip on it and all this stuff.
I don't know if it has an orange tip, but the whole thing's bright blue. So there's that for it.
So depending on the color scheme and the size of the piece, they may not want to change the paint scheme to conform with these...
So the
safety laws.
Right, so that the Megatron in the movie doesn't have some glaring safety orange parts on him.
Yeah.
So when he transforms, he's got the orange tip on his head.
When he transforms, he's got a giant orange cone sticking out of his ass.
Well, I mean, that's very plausible. That's sure. Okay.
So
I mean, that's good thinking. I wouldn't have thought of that. And Fantastic didn't think of that. So good for you.
2 points.
Mutiny.
I can't wait to see your ass blotto drunk later.
Yeah. The last bit that I have for tonight is in regards to one Neil Gaiman.
Oh. I have something to add to that right off the bat.
Well, why don't you do yours first?
I am going to do mine first. Today in comic book stores and bookstores across America, it's like my book report.
America. Fuck yeah.
Neil Gaiman's Fragile Things, Short Fictions and Wonders was released unto the world. This is Neil's first collection of shorts since Smoke and Mirrors, and they're saying lovely things about the book already. I will tell you this much about it. There are 31, Matt, short pieces of writing by Neil Gaiman within the confines of this book. And I have the hardcover book here. I want to point out a few things. It's called Fragile Things.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a great title for a Neil Gaiman book. And let me tell you about the marketing genius of William Morrow, which is an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. They've done the book, the hardcover book, obviously, very beautiful. They have placed on the cover of the book, mm-hmm. talking about book design, a couple of snowflakes.
Okay.
A butterfly.
Aww.
And an eggshell.
What's that on the back? There's something on the back, too.
I know. I'm getting to that. Which, of course, we know these things are fragile things.
This is true.
And also on the back, they've put a heart.
Aww.
Which is also
That's very nice. A
fragile thing. And they've covered the book in what I can only describe as translucent sort of rice paper, which is very fragile. I think it's a great book design. We don't talk a lot about kind of book design. And I have to tell you, this is a very nicely designed, very apropos dust jacket.
Right.
For this book, I'm very pleased with the design of this book. I'm a Neil Gaiman fan. I'm looking very much, I'm looking forward to reading it. And I'm excited just by the design of the book itself.
Well, for people who may not be familiar with Neil's work, whether it be his comic book work or his novel work, and maybe you don't want to commit the time to read one of his full novels, I definitely would recommend his short stories. Obviously, I haven't had the opportunity to read through Fragile Things yet, but Smoke and Mirrors, the first one, really kind of gives you an insight to A, Neil's writing and his style, and B, his unique mind and perspective on things.
That's a very PC way of saying crazy.
Right.
But it's good crazy.
So, in more Neil news, we've got some updates on some of the films.
Excuse me one sec. Fantastic. Make sure that they load. I want the cases and the kegs right into the kitchen area of the studio. Don't load. No, don't leave them there. I don't want the door blocked. Put them in there so they can be chilled and ready for the end of the show. All right. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
It's okay. Starting to get a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
I'm just saying these things. I have planned this thing.
Okay.
And it's going to come off.
I trust you.
All right.
I hope. We have some updates on some of the films that are being made out of Neil's work. Obviously, the biggest one is probably Stardust.
Right.
Which we've heard a lot about.
I saw clips in San Diego.
Yeah.
And they were beautiful.
Well, Neil says that he loves Claire Danes' work in it. And it seems very faithful so far, which is important. Neil's work is one of those... Neil's work is a type of work that really is perfect the way it is. And I don't think can be altered almost at all if you want to maintain any sort of idea of right. what he's trying to portray. If you tweak or change anything,
right.
you really will lose his message. Coraline, which is the stop motion film that's being done by the same team that did Nightmare Before Christmas.
And Corpse Bride.
I don't know if it was the same team that did Corpse Bride.
Same team.
You sure?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently it would seem Terry Hatcher is going to be voicing Coraline's mom, which Neil Gaiman, not very happy about.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He just said he was very upset about it. So.
Wow.
I guess he's not a Terry Hatcher fan.
Guess not.
I don't know why, but.
He must have seen Lois and Clark.
Maybe he'd prefer that like Tori Amos does it or something like that.
Well, I dare say probably yes.
Exactly.
They are very good friends.
They are very good friends. And finally would be Death the High Cost of Living, the rights of which are owned by Warner Brothers under the DC Comics deal. New Line has been given the yellow light at one point in time, but had a kind of, they backed
the
off,
yellow
they
light?
Dropped it. Yeah, I guess that's kind of the almost ready to go, but not quite.
Okay.
Apparently Neil wrote the script himself.
Yes.
And wants to direct it himself.
Yes. He talks about this frequently at his appearances and book signings. And yes, that's true. He does want to direct it, and he has written the script.
But it looks like Guillermo del Toro is going to executive produce.
Well, that will get the film made.
Yes. Which is, you know, is what we want. So
Guillermo is really becoming our man in Hollywood.
He is.
Here comes another Hellboy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's directing. I think he's also producing the animated series, although I could be wrong about that.
He might be.
He's involved in some way in that Hellboy animated series. He's also working on another fantasy-type movie called Pan's Labyrinth, which seems like that's going to be something of a genre film as well.
Which also has Doug Jones in it, by the way.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Doug Jones getting a lot of body work.
Sure is.
I'm telling you, man. He's like... He's got to make that transition or, you know.
Well, look, he's already beat out David Prowse, so.
Hey, and Ray Park.
And he's beat out Ray Park. No, Ray Park did two films.
But he did his own voice in the films that followed Star Wars.
He did. Well, he did Toad.
He did Toad, and then he did another movie, a fairly big action movie.
X versus Sever. Ballistic.
Yeah, that one.
That was
Shut
awesome.
Up. Lucy Liu is hot.
Yeah. It also looks like he's going to be tied to the Iron Fist movie Iron Fist.
Has been tied to the movie as Danny Rand since the notion that they would make a movie. Yeah. But last I heard, that was in development hell.
He did not do any of the voice work for the Headless Horseman, though.
Okay, that's true. But that being said,
right.
What has Doug Jones done with his voice?
Yeah, nothing.
So
potentially the Silver Surfer.
You know, probably because...
Potentially.
I don't know where Doug Jones is from, but, you know, that old joke we always make about Ray Park.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, if he doesn't make that transition, he's gonna end up like David Prowse, doing conventions and signing shit as the body of... having to do just like David Prowse, where David Prowse, whenever he signs an autograph, signs it, David Prowse is Darth Vader.
So is what you're telling me is that Doug Jones potentially could become the guy in the suit?
Yes, asshole. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I had to.
What is that fantastic in your hand?
It's a beer.
But you're not supposed to drink until the party starts. We have to get through this. You cannot get tanked in the middle of the show.
It's not tanked. It's just toasted.
I just want to throw out there that after last week's episode, if you still haven't picked up Spike Asylum number 1, you definitely should. Mostly because Spike Asylum number 2 came out this week.
I heard that it's selling out all over the place.
Good. It's a good book.
I heard the orders are low and that not a lot of people have a lot of them.
That's why
it's selling out.
Right.
So you should run out, ask your comics retailer for Spike Asylum number 2. And while we're talking about comics,
mm-hmm.
I have what I consider to be must-read book in my hand.
Okay, and what is it? Is that J. Jonah Jameson on the back of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it?
But that's the ad.
It is a brand new book.
Uh-huh.
It is called The Irredeemable Ant-Man.
Oh, this is the Ant-Man book.
Ant-Man book.
No.
Phil Hester art, written by Kirkman.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
This book is funny as hell.
Really?
It's right on the top of the book, Matt. You see it. The world's most unlikable superhero, the irredeemable Ant-Man.
That's pretty funny.
This is hysterical stuff. Fantastic Phil Hester art throughout. It's great.
Bringing the funny to Marvel Comics.
It's in the spirit of Next Wave. Mm-hmm. It's kind of he's kind of a B guy,
right.
But he's just angry and pissed. It really is just a great piece of work. You really should take the opportunity and pick it up. It's great.
Can I just read yours instead?
No, fantastic. You can download it somewhere.
Oh, damn! Wicked Burn.
And that's all I got.
That's all I got.
Let's call it quits.
Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
Hey, it's me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. From the Hall of Fame, WWE. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. He's awesome, baby!
I'm hot for teacher.
You know, I still don't look forward to you singing.
Hey, man, I'm getting in the mood. I had a beverage during the break, and I'm feeling a little loose.
Good for you.
Fantastic is also warming up to the party here.
I think I'll have one.
It looks like most of the load-in for the party has occurred, and now the guys are decorating and setting up, and I'm liking the way it looks in here.
Good.
I'm liking the smoke machine, although I'm a little worried about it, but I think it looks good.
Nothing Fantastic. Catch on fire.
Fantastic, anything?
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot.
God, he always adds so much to the show.
He does.
We got to give him a report a week.
Yeah.
That ISIS thing was hysterical.
It was pretty funny.
Well, I am very excited, Matt.
Why is that?
Because we have received new pieces from Tonner.
Ooh, that's right, we did.
And I have to tell you, this stuff is just getting better and better.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
They have got, I think they are on the precipice. If I can use the word precipice, fantastic.
Can you spell the word precipice?
I can, but I don't have to because I have a mic in front of me. And
so
I'm
you can
busy.
Spell it however you want, with a Q or a nine.
I am busy doing the show.
Sorry.
He's busy.
And the point I'm making is that
B-I-Z-I.
We're talking about, obviously we're talking about Tonner character figures. Is that what they are this week?
Mm-hmm.
Tonner character figures, latest additions to their Harry Potter line.
Right.
And we're talking about Hermione.
Yes.
From the Harry Potter movies.
Cool.
I have received and am very excited and completely jazzed about having the Hogwarts Hermione.
Well, you've got that completest bug in you. And since you have Ron and Harry already in their Hogwarts outfits,
uniforms.
It would only seem uniforms. It would only
Thank
seem
you.
Fitting that you would want the Hermione one.
Yes.
As well.
She's some. Wow, she's tall. She's like 16 inches tall, these things?
Yep.
The real clothing, the real, this sweater is stitched. The other clothing, the stockings and everything, it's all real. Mm-hmm. None of it's painted on. None of it is left to molding and so on and so forth. The only parts of her that are molded are her actual body, her hands, her head. The hair is real.
Yes.
And it's curly. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Comes with a beautiful stand. Everything is authentic down to the shoes. It's a fantastic piece. Also comes with her wand, which is her accessory here, as well as her what do you call these?
Cloak.
Cloak?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Her
robes.
Robe. Her school robe. Her
yes,
Hogwarts
her school robes.
And it's absolutely beautiful. Likeness is really fantastic. They've really, really done it once again with the likeness here. I think it looks great. I'm telling you, man. And they're going to start doing these other things, Matt.
Yeah, I
they're
know.
They're going to start with these DC licenses
and
some Spider-Man
pirates,
product.
Spider-Man.
Pirates. Wow.
Oh,
I mean, you are insane if you are not checking out Tonner at this point. I mean, you got to be nuts. This is the next wave. This is the next wave of high-end collectibles of this sort of in our genre. This is the next. Tonner is the next wave.
I agree. And like we've been saying, you know, since we saw these back at Toy Fair last year and we had the opportunity to sit down and really talk about these pieces, I mean, we knew immediately that they had stumbled onto something that they didn't even really fully understand, I don't think.
Right.
And I think that we've helped to certainly bring it to light.
I hope we have. You know what? I'll take pride in the fact that we have in some way helped this process along. And
sure.
If that's true, then I take full responsibility. I take responsibility.
Good for you.
I say I discovered Tonner for our genre. All right. So I can dream.
You can dream.
It was good.
It's amazing. But while you have Hermione in her school robes.
Right.
I got Hermione in her Yule ball gown.
Right. From the last movie.
Correct. Goblet of Fire.
Goblet of Fire. Correct.
I was astounded by this piece last February when I saw it.
Right. Because we saw a prototype at Toy Fair.
We did. And I thought it was amazing that day. Really, the likeness on it is really what kind of blew me away at first. But the overall quality of the piece is just amazing. Her dress is perfect to how it was in the movie. Like all of the other characters in there and their clothing. I mean, they really, really get down the look 100%.
Well, Tonner is coming from a history of fashion dolls.
Correct.
I mean, we got to say it.
Yeah.
They're coming off of a history of fashion, making extraordinary fashion dolls. And that being said, we can expect nothing less than what they've given these fashion pieces in the pieces that fit in our genre.
Sure.
And I expect fully, completely, 100% that everything we're going to see, at least as it relates to us, that we see from Tonner is going to be this quality. And if that's the case, I'm going to say it again. This is the future of the high-end collectible in this genre.
I think so.
I mean, that those DC pieces, if they send us a DC piece that looks as good as this Hermione or your U-Ball Hermione of anybody, and Harley Quinn, Joker, anybody. I mean, maybe those are just random choices, or maybe I'm really excited about those pieces. The point is that if they send us pieces that are like this of those characters and other characters in the genre, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, nothing they put out is lacking.
Right.
I mean, everything is perfect. That right. That Yule Ball piece is probably, it was my most anticipated piece for this Harry Potter line.
Right.
Until I saw the image of the Quidditch Harry.
Quidditch Harry.
But
Quidditch Harry suggested by this program.
It was.
To Tonner. I'm not saying we had anything to do with it. I'm not trying to take credit. I'm just saying we said it at Toy Fair, and now it's happening.
That being said, though, and as amazing as the character figures are, right, the accessories that they're putting out now, which are individually packaged,
amazing,
shipped separately, much lower price point. We're talking about $30, $40, $50, that kind of price range.
Right.
They're exquisite.
They are flawless, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have?
I have the $39.99 is the price point on this piece here. It is the Tri-Wizard Cup from Goblet of Fire, which, you know, for those of you Harry Potter fans, it acted as the port key that eventually brought them out of the maze and brought them to Voldemort at the end of the movie. It's a great replica. It's about 4.5 inches tall. It's got all the etchings, all the detail on the dragons that surround the cup. You know, it says the Triwizard Tournament on it. It's just a great piece.
It's a
great little accessory.
It looks like a fabulous accessory. Of course, we should make mention also that the accessories that they're making are in scale with the pieces, with the character pieces.
Definitely.
Which is fantastic, which brings me to the accessory I'm going to be talking about today, and I couldn't be more excited. You know, Matt, one of my favorite things about the Harry Potter series, Quidditch.
I know, me too.
The Quidditch scenes in all the movies are my favorites, without question, my favorites. It's one of my favorite things. It's why I made mention of doing a Quidditch Harry at Toy Fair. It's why we reiterated it the first time and every time since that we've talked about Tonner character figures. I got the best right here, Matt. Check it out. I got the Firebolt.
Oh, that thing is amazing. That thing is absolutely amazing.
This is, now Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, this is Harry's broom from Goblet of Fire. Yes?
It is.
It is fully in scale, looks to be some, 12, 13 inches long?
16 inches long, actually. 60,
okay, 16 inches long. It's got the foot rests, if you will. It's got the runes on the shaft,
right?
If you would, whatever. Runes.
Runes.
It has a fully thatched broom on the end, not a molded.
Nope.
Not a molded broom, but a fully thatched broom on the end. It's unbelievable. The quality here is fantastic. Coloring, the metal parts are metal. It's amazing.
Something important to say about that, and I'm actually trying. I'm on the Tonner website right now, trying to confirm this. I've heard this before, and I can't confirm it right now, but I believe that the Quidditch figure that's coming out does not come with the Firebolt.
So it's important
that you have that piece,
right? If you plan on getting Quidditch Harry, you got to make sure you get the Firebolt,
right?
Which is good. That's good.
Sure,
that's a good. That's probably a good move on their part, business wise.
Sure. Not only that, but you know, the figures in general come on bases regular, right. for them to stand in.
Right.
That would probably, some people probably aren't interested in posing him on the broom as long as the outfit is correct and the look and the feel is correct.
Are they fully posable? Yeah.
Yeah. They all have articulation.
I'm taking out your Yule Ball Hermione right now, and I'm examining that very fact.
The other piece that you're going to want to get, dude, that's not right. The other piece that you want to get, another accessory piece. I mean, the other accessories are great. Crookshanks it comes with. There's a Hedwig accessory. Obviously, like we said, the Fireball and the Triwizard Cup. But there's also a Quidditch set accessory, which is, it's a small trunk, and it comes with the Quaffle, two Bludgers, a Beater, and a Golden Snitch. The trunk is about 8 inches long, and it comes with the little accessories. That's probably the only accessory that isn't properly in scale.
Oh, it isn't in scale?
No, that's only about eight inches long, I believe.
The trunk?
Yeah.
Well, Matt, that could be in scale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. That probably is in scale.
I would think that I think that if they're going to go ahead and make these accessories be compatible with their figures, then...
And it looks like in that trunk, each piece is an individual piece. They're not molded into the trunk. It's not just a sculpted, painted piece.
Right.
You actually have a snitch. You have the bludger, two bludgers, the quaffle, the bat.
Right.
All that stuff. So
she is fully posable.
Yes.
Which means that Quidditch Harry will be fully posable, which means you will be able to pose
him certainly
on the Firebolt.
Oh, certainly. The images they have of the figure now are him posed on the Firebolt.
Oh, good.
So there's no doubt that you'll be able to do that.
Swell.
So that's the latest Tonner update.
Right.
Some of the great things you can look forward to. Again, if these figures are any indication of the other licenses that they've acquired, we are in for
some fantastic pieces.
Great, great pieces. Perfect for you guys.
Yeah.
Perfect for us.
Perfect for the distinguished collector, I'd like to say. Because that's who's that's your audience here. You wanna consider yourself a distinguished collector. You want to get into some higher end things. Mm-hmm. You want people to start respecting you, you know, for collecting these crazy things that we collect. It's not an action figure, people.
No.
This is a high end collectible that you'll be proud to display. I'm proud to be able to display these pieces in my collection. They're excellent pieces. This is the best Harry Potter merchandise out there. It's the best stuff. Check it out. What's that website again, Matt?
It's tonnerinc.com. That's TONNERINC.com. I've been
really trying, baby. Hey there, you sexy geek. Don't miss a single episode of Geek Stuff. Available every Monday at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You know you want it.
Fantastic. Will you slow down on the beer, please?
Can't slow down.
I told you, we have to at least get through the segment with the new character before the party can start. How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm the one who's drinking, and you're the one who sounds like they're drunk.
Hey, I am fine, okay? Right. I just had a couple of beverages, keep my whistle wet between segments, and that's that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You are drinking like a fish, my friend. You need to slow the hell down, because we got to get through this show before the party starts.
It's always a party when Mr. Fantastic is around.
That actually sounded like it came from Mr. Fantastic, which is a little odd. You know, Matt, we get a lot of email. We get a lot of people that want to know how come we're not saying anything about the professional wrestling.
It's true.
It is really a kind of a niche geek kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The WWE in particular has produced, along with Jax Pacific,
right,
one of the finest action figure lines out there, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
With the WWE, and particularly the Classic Superstars line.
Oh, definitely.
Is fantastic. We love it. And
that's Jeremy. So
that's true. And now with TNA coming up the ranks, their action figures as well from that company, Toy Biz.
Toy Biz.
And, you know, so we're getting emails wanting to know why we're not talking more about the wrestling news.
Well, we've been waiting for the appropriate time to introduce somebody who can really do it justice.
And he is here tonight.
It's true.
People, he is the madman from up north. He is the bad mother Canucker.
BMC,
how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Bad Mother Canucker, soft-spoken, carries a very big stick.
It's true.
That's all I'm saying. Don't you underestimate him based on that first sentence.
I'd be afraid.
So, BMC, Bad Mother Canucker, making his debut here on episode 27, Matt's Bachelor episode. Yeah, baby! Woo! Don't let BMC.
Giggity.
Don't let these guys who are setting up the lights and the machinery here and the dance floor. Don't let them throw you off. The party's going to happen. We just got to get through this show part of it first. You know, they're cooling the beers. The ladies have arrived during the last break. Some hot ladies, very hot ladies.
You know, I thought this was all for me.
Well. You thought wrong.
Oh, we'll get you a lap dance.
We are. There you go. Now you're talking.
Just saying.
That's all I'm saying.
Lap dance is fine.
What do you got for us in the way of the pro wrestling news?
Well, I guess I can lead off with some big spoiler news coming out.
Oh, wait.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
So we got some spoiler news coming out of the WWE. As you might know, their pay-per-view is coming up this Sunday. I believe it is the No Mercy pay-per-view.
No Mercy, which is a SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yes.
Right.
SmackDown pay-per-view exclusive. And coming into it, they've been promoting Bobby Lashley versus King Booker for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Ooh. Bobby Lashley, who we lovingly refer to as...
Black Lesnar.
Black Lesnar.
Nice.
Oh, it's true. It really is. You got to watch this guy.
Okay.
But if you watch SmackDown this Friday on... what is the new channel called?
CW.
The CW. That's right. Well, if you watch SmackDown this Friday, you'll find out that they will be changing the main event to a four-way.
Uh-oh.
Involving Bobby Lashley, King Booker, Finlay, and Batista.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Somehow they're going to change that whole pick your poison deal. And
now wait a minute. My understanding was that it was Finlay and Batista in their own match.
Well, it looks like they're combining everything.
Okay.
From what I understand, on SmackDown, Booker T is going to be facing Finlay as his pick your poison match, and Bobby Lashley will be facing Batista in his pick your poison match.
Okay.
And somehow or another, it's all going to come out that they're now making it a four-way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Yes, fantastic.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been in the past a big wrestling fan throughout the years, right?
Considering you've been coming here for pay-per-view since you were a teenager?
Right. Recently, maybe in the last year and a half, I've really just stopped watching the WWE. What the hell is Fit Finlay doing in the WWE now?
You know, when he first showed up, I thought the same thing. You know, I wasn't a big WCW fan, and I thought, this guy's over 40. He had this gigantic leg injury that kept him out of wrestling for years. And I know he'd been training all the lady wrestlers for a few years. So for him to step in the ring, I was kind of apprehensive.
So how are they packaging him now? Is he still like, you know, the 40-year-old guy who's in really good shape and runs in the treadmill and teaches you how to wrestle? Because that was pretty much his gimmick the whole time.
Oh, no, this guy...
He was a hard ass, but that was...
Oh, he's now the hard ass. I mean, he's probably one of the more popular guys in SmackDown.
Really?
Now.
Oh, yeah. I know this guy. He's the Irish guy with the shillelagh.
Mm-hmm.
He goes around shillelaghing people. Shillelagh, for you, those of you that don't know, an Irish kind of walking stick. In this case, he's reduced it to probably about a foot and a half club size with a big knot on the end, and he just bashes people with it. It's not a bad gimmick, actually. I kind of like him myself.
I really did like him when he was in WCW when they were kind of in their waning years, but I just never thought that he would fit into the current atmosphere that's going on in professional wrestling. So I was like really surprised. I went to the page one day and I saw him walking down the ramp below the Titantron. I was like, no way. That can't be him.
Yeah, that was him. And, you know, it's a nice change of pace for them. Because if you've noticed, there have been a lot of stupid gimmicks going around, like the Boogeyman. And, you know, just a lot of dumb stuff. And for them to come out with this no-nonsense guy, his whole tagline is he loves to fight, you know, mm-hmm. and he just bashes people and... The crowd loves him for some reason,
yeah,
even though they hate him.
It's a Steve Austin kind of vibe, though. It's a kind of just, he's a no-nonsense, I'll beat the crap out of you kind of fella.
What's his proper name? Are they calling him Finlay now?
It's
or?
Just Finlay.
Just Finlay.
Yeah, no more Fit
Finlay.
Yeah,
Fit's a little bit too feminine for the current WWE.
Although, to clarify, there is one little gimmick that he does have. And
what's that?
And literally, it is a little gimmick. He's got a leprechaun.
Oh, I could have guessed that.
Are they still doing that?
Yep, he's got a leprechaun hiding under the ring as his henchman. He comes out during his matches and just causes a lot of mayhem, and it's good TV, I got to tell you.
That's gold.
The first time I saw it, I thought, this is ridiculous. This is just utter garbage, but this stuff is growing on me, and it's one of the many reasons I tune into SmackDown now.
So on the pay-per-view, looks like some sort of thing is going to happen this Thursday on SmackDown, which is going to affect those matches at the pay-per-view.
Yes, and now it's a four-way, so now you know.
What else you got?
And more insider news. Good old JR, Jim Ross's contract, is up in a few weeks.
Again?
Again.
Uh-oh.
It seems like this has always happened. But, what they're going to do is they're going to let the contract run out, and he'll either sign a week-by-week kind of deal, or who knows, he'll just...
Retire,
or go back behind the scenes again.
Yeah,
or,
now, do they want him to retire? Is there any...
There's really no news about like how the company is as a whole on him, so... Who knows? Maybe they're just going in a younger direction.
So what's the status of the rest of their announced team now? Me having been away for it a while. The last time I was watching, they just brought on Joey Styles, which I was pretty psyched about. But then I heard after a while, it was there was a little bit of problem between like Taz and JR or Taz and McMahon and stuff like that. Are they strong in that area now, or are they really relying on JR?
Well,
I think on Raw, the it's a great combination, I think, of JR and Jerry Lawler.
Kinda. I mean, it is a bit long in the tooth. I mean, they do drone on a bit, and JR seems a little lost during the matches. He's not as sharp as he used to be. I mean, granted, he's you know, had
what
a lot
I
of...
my big chief complaint was before that he was just like so cliche driven that it was every, you know, show was the same cliches at the same spots in the show, that it just didn't bring anything new. That even though they brought in Joey Styles, I felt that, you know, he brought his own cliches, yes, but then he also brought a different energy, and like he was trying to grow, you know, while he was actually on the show, he was changing things up a bit.
Fantastic! Right, right. Is that beer you're drinking or Haterade?
That was
all
good.
All right, we get it. You hate it. Jesus Christ!
I
liked it, and they fuck it up. I'm fucking angry.
What?
All right.
What are you talking about?
Have another beer. Just relax.
Well,
he's all pent up. He saw the strippers come in. I told him not to look, and he looked.
Yeah, who else can we talk about that sucks?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, do you have an hour?
Who sucks?
Yes, if that's all we wanted on the show.
No. Another time, perhaps.
So it looks like some sort of shakeup could be coming in the announcing area of at least Raw.
Possibly.
Right. Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, there was some speculation that JBL was going to be leaving the commentary desk over at SmackDown. He had actually given his note, or news had come out that he had given his notice to them, and that he was just going to stop coming to the shows because his financial business, whatever
career
he's doing, his career is just booming, and he doesn't want to travel to the shows anymore.
Right? Is he done wrestling?
He's retired wrestling.
Okay.
He might show up every once in a while and, you know, on a future pay per view.
Right.
You know, for one match.
Right.
But for the most part, he's done as a yearly wrestler.
Right.
But, yeah, the word had gotten out that he was going to stop commentating as well.
Hmm.
But apparently those rumors were false. He signed a new contract, so they got him back.
Cool.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, JBL is a pretty good commentator.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I'm enjoying him.
Yeah. Yeah. In other SmackDown news, their head writer, Alex Greenfield, has left the head writer position for SmackDown. Apparently, he's got a new movie coming out, so he's working on that.
Is it The Marine?
No. It's a totally non-wrestling related movie.
Okay.
The new guy? Michael P.S. Hayes.
Wow.
Michael P.S. Hayes? You mean Michael P.S. Hayes from the Freebirds?
No, the Thunderbirds.
You've been drinking some Thunderbird, eh?
Wow.
Nice.
Fabulous.
Hold on. I think you need to step away from the microphone, mister. You are being an irresponsible broadcaster right now. That's all I'm going to say to you. Matthew, keep him away from that microphone. I do not want our first inaugural segment with the bad mother Canucker to be overshadowed by somebody's problem in here. All right? I'm sorry.
All right, boss.
CM.
Punk.
BMC. I'm sorry, BMC. Let's continue.
All right. So anyway, Michael Hayes is now the head writer for SmackDown.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll see a lot more Memphis-style booking or another return for the Freebirds. Maybe he'll manage Matt Hardy. Who knows?
Could be anything.
It could be anything. It could be great.
Awesome.
I mean, he's had a long career in wrestling,
yeah.
So... who knows?
Featured in the film Highlander?
He was?
Yeah, in the opening segments of Highlander. Christopher Lambert is at Madison Square Garden watching wrestling, and it's the Fabulous Freebirds versus, I don't remember exactly who, but I know one of them was the Tonga Kid, but I don't remember who the other two were.
Ah.
That is your extremely geek movie moment of this episode.
Wow.
Go on, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Wow.
A little tidbit about the upcoming Survivor Series pay-per-view in November at the Wachovia Center.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's in Philly.
Okay. They are bringing back the Survivor Series classic matches with the 5-on-5 teams or 4-on-4 teams.
Oh, really?
The elimination matches, yeah.
Cool. Very
they
nice.
They haven't done in a long time.
And the gobbledygooker, will he be coming back as well?
Probably not. I think he died a long time ago.
No, he won't be coming back then.
Probably. Who knows? With them, they'll bring back anybody.
So finally, we'll get to hear again, your winner and sole survivor, which you haven't heard since.
Is that how they used to call those? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if a guy was the last guy left and he fought off the other four and he was
right.
Still alive, yeah. That's
don't remember. All right.
And considering it's using SmackDown, Raw, and ECW wrestlers. This could be very interesting.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. They're going to incorporate ECW as well, mm-hmm. the ECW brand?
Yes, they will.
Goody, wow, goody.
Very interesting.
And just to bounce off of that, December will be the first ECW pay-per-view for them. It's called December to Dismember.
December oh. to Dismember.
Yes. I don't know the exact date, but I'm sure they'll be promoting it, I don't know, a few days
ad
before.
Ad nauseum.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but oh well, yeah, I guess you haven't noticed it because it hasn't aired yet. But Kid Cash was let go earlier this week. Kid Cash of the Pitbulls team with Jamie Noble on SmackDown.
Ah,
he's been let go because apparently his backstage attitude is not very good.
Oh boy!
And you know his
hey TNA, here comes another superstar for you.
That's right.
More like back again. He left TNA because of a bad attitude.
Oh.
So. This guy's had a string of just a bad reputation. And
hey, independent promotions. What is it? Heroes of Wrestling. Heroes of Wrestling.
South Mountain Arena.
He'll be wrestling in a high school near you.
No, you know what? I sat next to them at the Big Apple Con. I can't remember what they're called. Something Ring?
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor.
I sat next to those I don't think guys. They'll have him back either.
Oh,
boy. Who knows?
No bueno.
This guy is not going far in this business.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Can't have the bad attitude. Yeah. Okay.
Boogeyman was also released earlier this week. So
what?
No more worms. No
what?
More,
but the Boogeyman.
Oh, shucks.
But
more
the
Boogeyman.
But so, the unholy child of The Undertaker and Papa Shango.
That's it.
They didn't even try to rework his character. They just let him go.
They just let him go.
That's a shame.
Does he have an action figure out?
I believe. He does. He doesn't. It's coming.
It's scheduled.
Jax
yeah.
definitely did one. We saw it at Toy Fair.
We saw it. We definitely saw a prototype.
Right. So,
of it,
so collector's edition, possibly.
There you go.
Good to know. Nice. Good to know.
Well, if he dies.
Yeah.
No. If he's out and the character's gone, you know, I'll give you a famous example. The Blue Blazer.
Yeah.
That action figure still to this day goes for a lot of money because that character is not around anymore.
But he didn't just disappear. I mean, he.
Really? I
Hell
haven't
from
seen
the
it.
Sky.
Have you seen
Come
the Blue
on.
Blazer lately, Matt?
No.
Well.
Again, touching on a sore subject that we won't go into.
Just fell from the sky. That was awful.
Terrible. Anyway, some rumor mill fodder for all of you. The NWO trademark was renewed by the WWE.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this does not spell a return for Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Thank God.
They're just renewing it just so nobody else can use it.
Right. Yeah, because
and that's about it.
Yeah, because there are a bunch of guys out there who work for Jeff Jarrett's dad who I'm sure would like to get a hold of some big sort of promotion like that.
Well, Nash had been working for TNA for a while. He stopped working for them maybe a couple of weeks ago. So
I have an exclusive bit of Scott Hall news.
And now, here's Mr. Fantastic with... It's news to him.
Okay. A friend of mine who lives in Florida delivers pizza to Scott Hall's house, and he orders veggies with diet cheese. Since there's no such thing as diet cheese at this pizza place, they just put less. You're welcome. I'm Mr. Fantastic, and that's news to me.
Wow.
Diet cheese.
And that's news to him. There we go.
That was news to all of us, I think, really.
I cannot believe that this is what you bring to the table, Fantastic.
Oh, I think it's brilliant. Come on. Give him his credit.
You know, believe me. He's got his own intro and outro for these bits of stuff.
It's going to have a fan following.
For these bits of information, these bits of news. I can't think of an obnoxious word for it. I apparently have had too many in preparation for the party.
Pate.
Let's not interrupt BMC. Let him finish his report.
Sure. As you know, Raw's biggest competitor isn't a wrestling company, but the NFL. And now that the NFL has moved their Monday Night Football franchise to ESPN... it's in even bigger trouble because Raw had been, up to that point, the highest-rated cable show on Monday nights for however long it's been on. And now that it's on ESPN, well, check this out. The last Monday Night Football game, which I believe was between the Eagles and the Packers, garnered a 10.2 rating. So it was seen in 9,426,000 homes.
Right.
It was the fourth biggest audience of all time and the third biggest this year.
Incredible.
So Vince is a little
nervous.
A little nervous, yeah.
Jeez.
And well, he should be.
And with a fantastic TV show like Heroes on NBC also playing in the same time slot, it does make for some interesting numbers, no doubt.
We'll see. Who knows? Maybe it'll get Vince out of this creative funk that they're in, and maybe they'll produce some actually good shows.
Okay. All right. Here's hoping.
Yeah. Oh, more Raw news. The beloved, or maybe not beloved, Raw theme that they've been using. I don't even know what it's called or who it's by.
That's what I hear.
Well, you won't be hearing it anymore.
Uh-oh.
They're replacing it with a Papa Roach song.
Oh, gosh.
Really? What song?
It's called To Be Loved.
What?
And apparently you can find it either on the WWE website or somewhere.
Okay. So this is a song that has been previously released?
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sure.
Well,
it might be.
Actually, if it's been previously released, you're probably listening to it right now under this segment.
There you go.
Now, not being a Papa Roach fan, I don't know. But it's not like I tune into the show to listen to the music.
Right.
No one does, really.
And that was for Raw or SmackDown?
That's for Raw.
Okay, for Raw.
And one more bit of Raw news.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed the Crime Time segments. There's apparently a new tag team.
Yes, the new racist Crime Time segments.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know, I'll give a little background on this one. It's two African-American gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Who are portrayed as thugs and thieves who mug guys and take their wallets. And it's very stereotypically awful.
Wow.
And I know, Matt, you're probably enjoying the segments, but I, for one, am offended by the portrayal of African Americans in this way.
Sounds like it could be a sketch from the movie Bamboozled.
Possibly.
No.
No?
No. Nice try, though. Nice try to get the tie-in, but no.
Damn.
Well, Kevin, you'll be happy to know that your neighbors up north were also appalled because those segments have been censored in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
I don't remember if it's TSN or what network shows Raw, but they're pretty notorious for editing Raw's content, mostly for the scantily clad ladies, the language, but yeah, now they're censoring outright racism.
Well,
good for them.
Yeah, I can't say as I'm disappointed by that.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is overtly, I'm one to usually say that you have to keep an open mind and everybody should be made fun of and so on and so forth. But you know, this is not. I mean, this isn't really just the same thing.
No,
I mean, this is really just taking a stereotype and exploding it. For the purposes of creating these characters, and I mean, I'm sure Scottish people are probably protesting the portrayal of the Highlanders as kind of dumb, shirtless, kilt-wearing bushwhackers.
Right, as opposed to the usual skinny, heroin shooting,
right, exactly.
Slackers
exactly.
That they're usually portrayed as.
That's right. Very good point, BMC. Thank you.
You know, it wouldn't bother me as much, this whole Crime Time thing, if they were actually good wrestlers. But from what I've been hearing down the pipe is they're awful.
Well, have they even wrestled yet?
No.
Well,
they've been coming to Raw for 3 weeks now or so. And
like, what was his name? Tiger Ali Singh.
So when's their big debut scheduled for?
It's probably soon. Maybe next week. Maybe 2 weeks from now. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe they won't even show up because they're so awful.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah. Well, that's it for WWE news. And now the little engine that could.
Aww.
TNA. They really got to change that name. I mean,
yeah.
If you don't know, TNA stands for Total Nonstop Action.
Really? It doesn't stand for tits and ass?
You'd think it would, but...
That's what the DVDs look like when they sell them.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's just a Bush League
Christy Hemme.
It's a... Oh, is she over there now?
She's over there, but they don't ever doing anything.
Wow.
So, in TNA news, well, obviously the big news, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time is now over there, Mr. Kurt Angle.
Now...
You may have heard of him.
Yes, yeah, Kurt Angle. Now, we heard... That Kurt Angle was retiring for health concerns.
Oh, apparently you've only not. Heard the
one half of the story.
One half of one half of one half of the story.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's, okay.
It's,
what's
this
up?
Is a
what's
big
up there?
Story. I mean, the whole thing was that the WWE and Angle had parted ways. He wanted to rest himself, retire because he'd been injured. Blah blah blah.
Okay.
When the truth is. They fired him because he refused to stop wrestling. The guy was on painkillers. He's been injured. His last match, he tore his abdominal muscle clear off his pectoral bone.
Oh, wow.
And he tore his hamstring. And he still kept going.
So is he just nuts then at this point?
Oh, he's completely nuts. The whole backstory is that he once he moved over to ECW, he was a terror to work with. He kept demanding that they change segments for him.
Right.
Just, you know, being real up in everybody's faces. And it got to such a point that they had to let him go.
So we can't really blame then WWE for this. They probably did the right thing for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They told him, you know, either go to rehab, stop wrestling, get healed, you know, for as long as it takes. We will bring you back.
Right.
When you're ready. But he said, no, I'm good to go. I don't care how many painkillers I got to take. And I'm talking like he's got to take a Motrin just to take the garbage out every night.
Wow.
So they let him go for his own good. And the whole feeling was that he'll either work for TNA. He might go into mixed martial arts, which mm-hmm. was the big rumor for a long time.
Right.
And in fact, he had released a statement saying that once he was healed, he would probably pursue something like that.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, a couple weeks ago at the TNA No Surrender pay-per-view, after their main event had shown, they aired this promo. And lo and behold, TNA has Kurt Angle. So
wow.
It's causing this big swell of excitement, what have you. Almost along the lines of when the NWO showed up.
Wow.
When Hogan turned and all that.
Right.
Back in 96.
But it sounds like he's in such bad shape, he's not going to be able to bring a whole lot for very long.
Right. Well,
I mean, maybe it'll give TNA a little bit of a push to get them off the ground, but he's going to end up killing himself.
Right. Well, the feeling is that because they don't tour, you know, they don't do house shows. They basically tape a show on Monday or Tuesday night, sometimes two shows at once.
Right.
And then they'll air them for, you know, 1 or 2 weeks.
Right.
Everyone gets to rest. A lot of the guys do indie bookings. But right. for the most part, you know, they don't wrestle as much.
Right, right.
Maybe they'll do appearances. But for the most part, people are saying that this is good for Kurt Angle. He'll be able to rest. He'll still be able to wrestle because that's all he wants to do.
Right.
And then, you know, sure, he'll be wrestling hurt for a little while, but it's not to the extent that the WWE had him go.
Sure, I mean, sure.
Something like 200, 300 nights a week,
right.
a year, I mean.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So this could be good for him, but some people feel that he's too far gone.
Right.
To not to say to save, but, you know, he could be really endangering himself.
That's
yeah,
bad.
That's not good.
Yeah. But my feeling is he's a grown man. If I mean, he might seem a little crazy, but if he can do it, good for him. And if it's a good push for TNA, so be it. You know, if anything, Vince needs the competition, you know.
Well, it seems that if he's looking at competition from the NFL and he's looking at competition from great programming on other channels, if he's got to face that competition and competition from other wrestling promotions, Vince, it would seem, has a lot of work to do.
I hope so.
Vince has the ability to put out a good show. Vince has the talent to put out a good show. But when there's no one to threaten you, then you become slack.
Right.
And there's been no one to threaten him for a long time.
I believe the word is complacent.
It is?
Complacent.
complacent.
So we're going to have to snap. I guess this hopefully will snap Vince and the company out of the somewhat complacent seat that they have found themselves in of late.
We'll see.
It probably won't happen for a while because TNA is still viewed as a very small fish.
Right,
right.
You know? And it could take a while, but this could be the spark. You know, maybe other wrestlers will start jumping ship.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
maybe this will lead TNA to getting a 2-hour slot instead of a 1-hour right. slot. Maybe, you know, this will be the exposure they need to really jumpstart something. Who knows? Well, this could be good for wrestling as a whole.
Well, I gotta say, the Bad Mother Canucker delivers quite the thorough wrestling report.
It's true. I think the fans will be happy.
I think they will. Bad Mother Canucker, the BMC. We will expect to hear back from you in a few weeks with some more exciting pro wrestling news.
It's true.
I will be here. In Canada, shame on Canada.
Matt, is there a better online resource for action figure news and information than action-figure.com?
No. Actionfigure.com is the premier website.
Whoa, slow down. It's action-figure.com, Matt.
I'm sorry. Action-figure.com is the premier website for all your toy news, reviews, photos, and it's updated daily.
They have a great staff over there. They're great writers. They know what they're talking about. They answer questions that you want to have answered.
You aren't going to find a better source for action figure information on the web.
That's right. So point your internet browser to www.action-figure.com and go there today.
Galactus-inspired casting.
Galactus appearing in FF justifies the Silver Surfer. I'm with it. I'm down.
So what justifies exactly the Evil Dead musical?
Not a goddamn thing. But Fantastic and I are going to try to check it out while you're on the honeymoon. Yeah! Woo! You know what happens on the honeymoon, right? You do whatever she says. Yeah!
Hopefully I don't get thrown overboard.
Yeah, and mysteriously disappear.
Exactly.
All right, what else?
Transformers, the movie line, Wave 1, Optimus Prime, and why the fuck Starscream?
We don't know. Hasbro, what are you thinking, buddy?
No guns, no gun. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, because Megatron would look really silly with a safety orange head.
Now Spike TV only has most extreme challenges.
Hold on. Somebody get angry Dan off of that stripper. Angry Dan, you cannot touch. You can only look. Get up. All right.
Lucky, grab him. All right, Lucky's got a hold of him. What were you saying, Bachelor?
I was saying that Spike TV now has to rely only on Most Extreme Challenge since they gave Blade the stake through the heart.
Oh, Blade the series, but it's going to come out on DVD, so we'll be able to check it out then.
Ryan's putting it out.
Woo! Hey, up. She likes you, Matt. I think we better get through this a little quicker, I'm thinking.
I'll give you a quick. We had some real gaming news tonight about Stardust, Coraline, and Death the High Cost of Living all being made, all in pre- or post-production, to coincide greatly with Neil's new book.
Neil's new book, as I said, is Fragile Things. It's a story, short story collection, and it's fantastic. The book design is great. We talked about it. You should check it out. I also talked about Volume 7 of the Complete Peanuts. Stop throwing peanuts! Complete Peanuts, the comic strip.
Peanuts?
1961 to 1962. It's out. It's part of a great collection. You need to get a hold of it.
We also recommend you running out there to pick up the new Ant-Man book that just came out. And while you're out there, you should also pick up Spike Asylum number 2.
You want to check out Spike Asylum number 2 by our buddy Brian Lynch. The irredeemable Ant-Man has arrived. Phil Hester art, definitely worth the checking out.
We then went directly...
Will you please pay attention to the wrap-up and not the stripper?
I'm sorry, it's hard. They're so big.
I bet it's hard. Stop it. What did we do next?
We talked about Connor action characters.
Connor action characters.
Harry Potter line, Hermione, her school robes, and in the Yule Ball dress, and the fantastic accessories that they're putting out.
Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome Tonner pieces. We couldn't be more excited and more happy to be part of Tonner's growth in our genre, our industry.
Yep. It's an awesome line, high-end collectibles. They will distinguish you as a collector.
We then heard from our brand new friend, the Bad Mother Canucker, who is now enjoying his third beer and his first stripper.
No! And stripper and first beer!
Either way, Bad Mother Canucker delivering us some fine pro wrestling news, and we are excited that he's joining the crew here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
You picked a great night to debut, Canucker.
Oh, man, you sure did, Canucker. Wow, there's a pair of debuts right there. Woo! Woo!
I think that's about going to wrap up this episode of Big Kev's
Geek Stuff. Going to wrap up the episode with the party.
My bachelor party.
The party.
I'm going to go get lit.
The party has just begun. The party has just begun.
And on that note, we cue the music.